Your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Like I said, it's good to be here this morning. One of my good preacher friends called me yesterday and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I've been studying a verse of scripture and I thought if anybody had any thoughts on it, you might." He said, "Have you ever studied out and looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17? I said, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I said, "That's what I'm going to be preaching on tomorrow." He said, "Me too." 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17, we'll read that verse and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. It is the Independence Day weekend celebration. I don't like to hear it called 4th of July. It's Independence Day. It means something. July 4, 1776, our Declaration of Independence was signed and ratified and made official, and boy, it was on from then on, but thank the Lord for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17, let's read that and go to the Lord in prayer. And you ask that God would speak to our hearts this morning and have His way in our midst, and that we might appreciate liberty like we never have before. 2 Corinthians 3:17. "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You so much for letting us be here today and all the many blessings that You've given to us. Lord, I pray and ask God today that You would honor Thy Word in such a way as, God, we would see and recognize, Lord, that You are the true author of liberty. God, the idea of freedom comes from nobody, no man, no government. But God, the very fact that we can be free and know what it means to be free, Lord, it comes from Thee. And oh, how it ought to stir us. God, I pray for Your help today. God, I pray to be anointed from on high. God, I pray for help. God, I pray that You'd help our nation. And help me this morning as I stand. Lord, we are a very needy people. God, we have been so blessed far above and beyond all the other nations of the world put together. Lord, You've blessed our nation. And God, I pray You'd help us today. Thank You. Thank You for all Your blessings. Thank You, Lord, for Your good Holy Spirit, just being here in the song service and the choir singing and everything. Lord, we thank You for it. God, just speak to our hearts today. We'll thank You. Help us. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read that verse one more time and I'll tell you what I want to preach on today. The Bible says there in verse number 17, it said, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." And I want to preach on this subject this morning, give me liberty or give me death. You may recognize that this morning from the last line of Patrick Henry's famous speech. In fact, I've got that last sentence in my Bible where he said March 23rd, 1775, before the First Continental Congress, when he arose to give his speech and his defense of why he thought that America, or Virginia specifically, should be put in a posture of defense. The very last thing he said in that speech, he said, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." You know, at that time in America, Patrick Henry and those that thought like him, and let me say this morning, Patrick Henry was a great Christian person. He was devoted to the Lord. He looked to God to help and rescue our land. And he was looked upon, though, by the majority as being a traitor. And many times when he would get up to give a speech, in fact, years before that, he gave another speech concerning the Stamp Act in America at that time, and he basically said that the Crown had no right to tax Americans without representation, and they cried out during his speech. They cried out, treason, 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 and they passed his resolution. But the next day, they came back and they tried to erase all records that they had ever voted for it and passed what he had asked for. You know, politicians have never stopped being politicians all these years, buddy. They'll do one thing one day, and they'll come back the very next day and backpedal and backtrack and all that, but they were afraid of being tried for treason, not treason against America, but treason against the British crown, King George. But many of the people there, they looked at him as being a traitor and his ideas of liberty that he had. But I want to tell you this morning that at that time in America, God was doing a wonderful thing and had been doing a wonderful thing in the country of America. Historians would look back and they would call what God did during that time, they would call it the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening had taken place and was taking place. And if you read secular history, it will tell you that church attendance was at an all-time low in America at that time, just before the American Revolution. And there's a little bit of truth to that. Church attendance was at an all-time low if you look at the state-recognized churches. If you look at the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians and the Congregationalists, all of those were suffering a mass exodus out of their churches. But it wasn't that people were stopping going to church. It was that people, they were stopping going to a dead church. And they were leaving those churches and they were forming new churches. And the official churches at that time, they called them dissenters. The dissenters. We know them more as Baptists. Amen. I like that crowd. God was working and moving in our country at that time, and the Baptist people, more than any other, were growing in leaps and bounds. One gentleman historian, his name is Howinson, in 1774, he said this. He said, "The Baptists increased on every side. If one preacher was in prison, 10 arose to take his place. If one congregation was dispersed, a larger assembled on the next opportunity. The influence was strong among the common people." I like that. You know what it says in Mark 5? It says about the Lord Jesus, it says, "The common people heard him gladly." The common people, they were accepting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were leaving a cold, dead church that had failed to tell them about the freedom they could have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was happening in America at that time, just prior to the American Revolution, was not so much a political movement as a spiritual force. And I mean that with a capital S. The Spirit of God moved throughout our land. And one of the most famous passages of Scripture on Sunday morning during that time was 2 Corinthians 3:17. And preachers preached across this land. "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And many people in America, for the first times in their life, and did you notice what I said right there? Many people in America, for the first time in their lives, they got a real taste of what real freedom is all about, and it fired them up. And you know what they found out when they got free in the Lord Jesus Christ? They found out they lacked freedom. They found out they lacked this thing of liberty. They found out that instead of like many poor souls out here today, they think if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and give your heart and your life for His honor and His glory, they think poor Christians. Boy, I'm not sad mouth this morning. I'm not poor mouthing. I look at the world and I say, poor world, I wish that they had what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's freedom. There's liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for many people, it's the first time they'd ever got a taste of it and they lacked it. And the Baptist people alone fought and won what has come to be known as our First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion. Do you know the Baptist people were the only people that wanted it? The ones that lacked the idea of it had never thought of it before. Because they had never got in the Word of God and seen what the Word of God had to say about liberty and freedom. And the ones that didn't have religious freedom, they didn't want religious freedom because everybody in the whole county or the whole state was being taxed to support their dead church. So they didn't want freedom of religion. But the Baptist people from the north all the way into the south, they fought for it. They went throughout all the land preaching the principles of individual soul liberty. That just means that every person ought to have the opportunity to decide for themselves what it means to worship God, and there shouldn't be a tax upon it for me to have to support some dead church I don't agree with. And that's why they'd arrest them and lock them up. God did a wonderful work in the Great Awakening, and I could go on and on and on this morning and tell you the great and glorious story of liberty and how God has moved and worked in our country. In fact, one man during the 1700s, a man, his name was Charles Turner, he said this, he was a preacher, he said, "The Scriptures cannot be rightfully expounded without explaining them in a manner friendly to the cause of freedom." Bible-believing people ought to love freedom because we know what the Word of God says about it. It ought to thrill us when we talk about liberty. It ought to fire us up when we talk about freedom, when we talk about what the Lord has done for us. And I could go on and on along that line this morning, but I feel many times like Moses must have felt. I was thinking this week, I was praying about what God had had me to preach upon this morning, and the Lord directed my attention over to the first few chapters in the book of Exodus. I'm not going to preach out of that this morning, but most of you remember what happened when God called Moses and he told him to go down there and to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Moses came out of the wilderness after 40 years in exile. Now you imagine that he'd been gone 40 years because you remember he killed an Egyptian and he had to flee and all of those things, and he tended the flock out there in the desert, and one day God came and spoke to him in the burning bush and he said, "Moses, it's time to go home. And I've heard the cry of my people down there in Egypt, and I want you to go down there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And Moses came out of the wilderness. And he came out and he had good news. He said, "I want you to know God has signed your Declaration of Independence." Man, they ought to have been shouting, they ought to have been running, they ought to have been praising God. But as I read and study my Bible, some of them worshiped, but most of them whined. Most of them whined about it. And I thought about that, and I was studying about that, and I thought, why weren't they more rejoiceful, if that's a good word to use this morning, because of the message that Moses brought. And I thought about it like this. Most of those people, all of those people, in fact, they'd been down there 400 years. They were born slaves. They were raised slaves. They lived the life of a slave. They had lived in Egypt. It's all that they knew, and they didn't know what freedom was. They didn't know what liberty was. They didn't know what it was to have their own land, their own crops, anything like that. It didn't thrill them because they didn't know what it was to be free. It's the only life they knew. I read an article a while back in the Winston-Salem Journal. You know, this year is the 150-year anniversary of the Civil War. And I read an article a while back. It was talking about a black man in there, and he had found out that his great-great-great-grandfather, I don't know how many years back it went, but he had found out that his great-great-grandfather was a slave, but he fought for the South. And that man said in that article, he said, "I'm of the Malcolm X generation." He said, "I just can't understand, I cannot fathom why my grandfather would have fought for the South and him being a slave." He said, "That's just, and they don't even want to have a monument to him. They'd rather deny what history teaches than to just say, you know, there's blacks that fought for the South. He said, I just can't understand that. I can understand that. You know why? They fought for the South because it's the only life they ever knew. And it's the only thing they ever knew. And it's the only way they ever knew. And they didn't know nothing else, and they'd never been free, and they didn't know what it was. And they'd rather stay with what they knew than to go with what they didn't know anything about. And the slaves in Egypt didn't know anything about freedom. And the blacks during the Civil War, they didn't know anything about freedom, most of them. And I want to tell you today, most of the people that I preach to and talk to about freedom and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't know anything about it. Most of us in America, we think we're free. But you're not as free as you think you are. Most people, they have those words on their lips, but they don't have the idea really in their mind. And I don't believe you can really understand what it is to be free until we see exactly where we are in our position in the world, and until we find out what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us through His marvelous grace. But I begin to study over there about Moses going down there into Egypt, and you know what I found? I found 10 words that describe Israel's slavery. You say this morning, no, 10. That scares people to death. He's going to have 10 points. I'm not going to have 10 points, but I found 10 words. The word slave is only in the Bible one time. It's in the book of Jeremiah, if I'm not mistaken, this morning, but usually it's rendered as servant or a bond slave. But there was slavery in the Bible. And the children of Israel were definitely slaves down in Egypt. And I found 10 words to describe the condition that they were in. Here's what the words are. I'm just going to give them to you. Taskmasters. Think about that. Taskmasters. Ask yourself this morning, am I really free? Do you have any taskmasters? Masters in your life that's got you driving you like an animal and got you in bondage this morning? Task masters, affliction, burden. Anybody got any burdens this morning that's just got you bound up and you can't see your way out? Burdens, bitter, to serve with rigor. That means a cruelty. It means breaking apart. What's breaking our society all apart today and all in a million pieces? To serve with rigor. Hard bondage, groaning, cry, sorrows, oppression. All those words were used to describe how Israel was down there under the hard hand of Pharaoh. And I want to say this morning in preaching on the subject, give me liberty or give me death. You will not appreciate liberty if you don't know what it is to be free. Most of us just think we're free, and we're not. I'm going to give you 3 things this morning that'll ease your mind. You pray that God will give liberty as we try to preach, but I will say this morning, most of us this morning, number one, we are slaves to a system. We're slaves to a system. Pharaoh is a type of Satan in the Bible. And Egypt, the children of Israel down in Egypt, is a type of the world. I've preached on that before. The Bible teaches in the New Testament that Satan is the god of this world, little G-O-D. He's not the sovereign ruler of the world, but he is in control right now in this world. He's the little god of this world. The Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. And whether you realize it or not, this morning Satan has monopoly holdings on this world. He controls so much of this world system that you and I live in, and we march to his tune many times and we don't even realize it. He's got monopoly holdings on the governments, on the laws, on the institutions like the banking and the education and the markets of the world and the entertainment of the world and the religion of the world. And he's got all these things tied up and under his control. Now, not God's people, not us, but I'm going to get to that. But I'm talking about this world this morning. It is under his thumb. And we're marching many people, most people, to the... It reminds me of the Pied Piper. You remember that story about the Pied Piper? And he went out and he played the tune and all the mice followed him. That's how the devil is. Boy, he plays the tune. And people in the world, and he's got different tunes for different nations and different areas and all these things, but he plays his tune, and I'll tell you, people, they follow right along religiously, slaves to the system of this world. That word taskmaster, it means to drive as an animal, a workman, a debtor, to tax, to harass, to tyrannize. The colonist lived under a system of tyranny. And every morning when they'd wake up, they didn't know what the new tax coming from over in England was going to be. And they would work and they would slave and they would try and they would dig and they would bury their children and they'd start all over again and over and over. And every time they turned around, here's King George. Got his hands out. Taxing them, oppressing them, driving them, all of those things. And when they got a taste of real liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, you know what? We've got a real sovereign that's a whole lot better than him. We don't want his junk no more. That's modern day phraseology. I don't think Patrick Henry said that. But that's the way they felt about it. They were living under a tyrannical system. They were caught up in that system. Just like we're caught up in a system, you know, we look around today and we get so aggravated because so many things are so messed up. Why? Because the devil's running the show. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:7, it says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And I'll tell you, from our government all the way down, we're living our lives as slaves to pay debts for things that we bought that we didn't need. And you see what I'm saying this morning? We're slaves to a system. People are killing themselves to fall into and to finance themselves and to live what we have been taught all of our lives, the American dream. Certain things as an American you've got to do, you've got to have. And if you don't do those things and have those things, you can't be happy. Who says? Who says, hey? Hey, if you got to finance something to have it, it's not really yours anyway. If you're living your life so far in debt you can't serve God for 1 minute, 1 day of your life because you're so wrapped up in this world and the things of this world, I'm telling you this morning, you're not free. You're not free. If we're killing ourselves to live just for the system of this world and all the things that are wrapped up in it, we're not free this morning. So you go and preach liberty like I have many times, and people, they can't enjoy that because they're not free. We're slaves to a system. Second of all, this morning, we're slaves to society. We're slaves to the society in which we live. I found over in Exodus chapter number 3 in verse number 7, it talked about the affliction in Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 3 in verse number 17, it talked about the affliction of Egypt. Egypt is the type of the world. And you know what, whether you recognize it or not this morning, just about everybody that I know, we try to live our lives to a certain standard, not that God sets for us, not that we set for ourselves, but what society sets for us. You remember playing that game when you was growing up, Simon Says? Simon Says, stand up, stand up. Simon Says, sit down, sit down. Simon Says, wave your right hand in the air. You know, whatever Simon says, that's what you're supposed to do. You know what? That's how we are today with society. People can talk about being free and having liberty and all of those things, but most people aren't free. They're living their lives under the slavery of society. Whatever society says, that's what they go and do. Society says, go to school, go to college, get a job, make a lot of money. You've got to do that in order to have American dream. And you look how many thousands and millions of people in America, that's exactly how, what they're trying to do. Live their life. Why? Because society says so. Society says to do these things, and we spend our life and our best years and our efforts and all of our all the good things out of our life trying to obtain things that not God has set for us, but what society set for us. Society says everybody has to have a cell phone now. Just about everybody's got a cell phone. How did we ever live without cell phones? How did we ever get along? I tell you what, I get so aggravated at them things. I used to say I'd never have one, but I've got one. But I still live by this. That's for my benefit. And it's not so. I was with a preacher a while back, and we'd been to a meeting somewhere, and we was coming back. It was late at night. It was way past bedtime. It was 10 or 10:30, I think, and his phone rang, and he spent 10, 15 minutes going down the road talking on the phone. I said, does that happen to you much? He said, all the time. I said, I'd do like that Ziggy cartoon. Did anybody see it this past week? It had Ziggy, you know what I'm talking about? And he had a trash can there, and it had a sign, and it said, to simplify your life, throw your cell phone in here. Society says, do Facebook. And I tell you what, I must do Facebook. I must update my whatever society says. Had we ever lived with all this stuff in our lives that we become slaves to? Society says, watch TV. And, you know, it's not just a matter of watching TV, but now society demands that you not just watch a little TV every once in a while. You have to watch a whole season worth. Boy, you can't miss that. I mean, you can miss church, but you can't miss American Idol. You can't miss your show or whatever, but you know, the world passes us by, and people sitting in front of the TV deteriorating, rotten in their own flesh, sitting there. Never get no exercise, never talk to their neighbor, never go for a walk, never get up in the morning and see the sunrise because they've stayed up all night watching TV, whatever's on it, and all of these things. And we're missing life as it passes by all because we think we've got to do what society says to do. You watch young people. You watch, I mean, they talk about being, what are they? They won't be individuals. Most of them aren't individuals. Most of them are doing just exactly what all the rest of them is doing. There's just a few dictating how all of them dress and what they do and how they wear their clothes, where they go. Society says, poke holes in your head. Well, good idea or not, I'll go poking holes all in my head. You see what I'm saying this morning? They're not free. They don't have an independent mind. Most of them don't think for themselves and don't know how to think for themselves because society is dictating to them how to live their lives. And we adults aren't much better, especially my generation on down. The older you are, the better off you are, really, in some respects. I've had people tell me, I don't know how to turn on a computer. I don't have a computer. You're better off. You're better off. You're not missing anything. Society, we're slaves to society. Society says we have to go in debt to drive a nice car. And you know what? It is so warped. It's cheaper to borrow money to buy a new car and go thousands of more dollars in debts than it is to borrow money to buy a used car that you could pay for. It's all warped. It's all messed up, but I'll tell you, this whole society is designed just like a big net to drag you away from God and the things of God. A society says today, you think about this morning, society says, don't you spank your children. You know, that just happened out in, I believe it was Texas or California. And there's a mother out there, and she got hauled into court because she had spanked one of her youngins. And that judge, he reprimanded her in front of everybody. He said, we don't do that in polite society anymore. You know, it's a good thing we don't. Look how much better children act than they used to. How many got Bible scars? How many's got scars from Bible school? I mean,
You got to have an army of adults to watch just a few little ones. Well, they act so much better now, and they're so respectful of their elders. Since we've got this new society that we live in, we went to the farmer's market yesterday. And there's a car pulled up there. We was going to get in our car. And there's a family pulled up. And the dad got out and opened his door. And there's a little girl behind. You know, she was getting out. And boy, if I'd have talked like that to my dad, she just mocked him. Stuck her tongue out, made fun of him. I mean, she just gave him down the road. My mom, bless her heart, I wouldn't have no teeth in my head this morning. I'm not saying abuse children, you know what I'm saying, but we're so much better off, aren't we? I mean, the devil knows how to raise children. Evidently, God doesn't know anything about it. I'll tell you, we are so enslaved to society and what it says, and we fall right in line, and we do what the world says. The world says now, once upon a time in America, children were taught the benefit of hard work, how to get outside and do some chores and milk a cow. And I can't say much there. I don't have a cow. Does anybody else have a cow? Brother Terry, there's three people in the church got a cow. I bet you couldn't get no milk out of them. They're probably steers. But anyway, once upon a time we taught children, you know, you're going to have to get out in the garden. You're going to have to work in the tobacco field. Amen. That's where I had to work and get up hay and learn how to do some things. And I'll tell you today, if there was a family that made their children work outside on a regular basis, the Department of Health and Human Services would be down there. Check on them youngins. Abusing them. We think the only thing that children are good for in this day and time is to play games and to run around and waste our gas and waste our lives running them around to do something that ain't worth nothing. Ain't worth nothing. And then they don't know how to do nothing. We do it all for them. Don't teach them. Amen. Why? Because society says. Society says that all children are good for is playing sports, and that's the most important thing in the world. That is not the most important thing in the world. People act like it is. Boy, I tell you, I thought we was involved when I was growing up, and now, my goodness, I mean, children, we're running and running and running ourselves ragged because society says to. But go to church. No, society don't say go to church. No. Society says all these other things, but if I say, now I want to go to church, society says, no, you can't go to church. You're not free to go to church. Those of you, especially you got children in public school, you are no longer free to go to church on Wednesday night. Once upon a time, that used to be prayer meeting night. We ain't playing ball. We ain't having PTO. We ain't having this junk on Wednesday night. We're going to the house of God. But now, that's not important to the world. You're going to dance to their tune, or you're going to be looked down upon. You're going to be at the end of the line. Hey, society doesn't say go to church. You say, preacher, if somebody, just ask me, tell me this morning. Why is it we encourage young people to do everything under the world? Where's the young preachers? Where's the young missionaries? Where's the young person that'd stand up and say, oh, preacher, I've got a heart for God. I want to do something for Him. I want to give my life to missions. Where's that at? I mean, it's not going to do much good if I get up here for about 40 minutes every once in a while when they come and exhort them that's what they need to do when the devil is feeding them 95% of the time, and that's the very last thing in the world they need to be thinking about. Oh, we're all excited for young people to do this and do that. And don't get me wrong, I want them to have opportunities. I want them to do things. But I want them to put God first and do what He wants them to do. Then they can know what it is to be free. Instead of ending up like a lot of us that's just running our lives in the ground, running here and running there, doing what society says and not getting anywhere and hating life. It's a lot of people hates life. They feel like the children of Israel were over there, oppressed, hard bondage, all of these things. That phrase, to serve with rigor, it means to break apart. It means cruel bondage. It's where most people are today. Jesus said this. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We're slaves to a system. We're slaves to society. We're slaves to self. Self means this, flesh. I, me, my, what I want to do, where I want to go. Like a mouse on a wheel, a whole lot of us this morning, we're running and running and running, and we don't have the mind to get off and ask ourselves the question, what am I doing? What am I doing? Just running and running and running ragged and affliction and burdens and bondage and groaning and sorrows. It's how most people live their lives, running, running, running. Why? Why are you doing what you're doing this morning? You remember when I preached out of the book of Esther and old Haman was in charge? He's the type of the flesh. And when he was in charge, the Bible says the city was perplexed. Nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew why they wasn't happy. Nobody knew why they wasn't getting along. Nobody knew why they wasn't prospering. That's when flesh is in charge. Let me ask you something this morning. People have more than they've ever had before. They have more things. They have more time on their hands. They have more toys in their garage. They have more, more, more. But they are less satisfied than they've ever been before. More unhappy. More divorce, more children leaving home and fighting parents and breaking apart and all of these things, and more dissatisfied, more covetous, more quarreling, more addicted to things, addicted to pills. You study over in Revelation chapter number 18, and you know what? And I don't have time to get into it this morning, but the word sorcery, it's where our word pharmacy comes from. And do you know during the tribulation, during the reign of the Antichrist, that generation is going to be the most doped up generation that's ever walked the face of the earth. Following his sorceries. People are doped up, drugged up. Boy, we ought to be more happy than we've ever been before. We ought to be thrilled at the thought of liberty and freedom and America and what it all stands for this morning. I read something a while back and it said this about the threefold ministry of the devil. Here's what the devil does. The devil sows his tares, sets his snares, and loads us down with cares. Well, that describes most people's lives. They've got so many tares in their life. They can't tell you the word of God from the word of anything else in the world. They've got so many snares they're hooked up in, tripped up in, caught up in, can't get out of. And they've got so many cares on their life. They can't pray. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to do anything, sit around depressed and in a spirit of bondage and depression and hopelessness and all of these things. The devil's done that to us and we let him. But I want to turn the corner this morning and give you some good news. It said in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You know what the Spirit of God will do for you? Now let me tell you something. You won't even notice how bad of a shape you're in. You won't want to do anything else with your life or in your life until the Holy Ghost of God comes along and shines His light on your shackles. And you get to looking at your life and you say, buddy, I'm in a mess. I'm bound up. I'm a slave. I'm oppressed. I'm in hard bondage. I don't have any choice in my life and I hate it. Till the Spirit of God comes along. You won't even know. These lost people going all up and down the road. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, to whom is our gospel hid? To them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They're lost. They don't care. They don't know. They don't think a thing about it. And they won't know any different until the Spirit of God comes along and you're going to hell. You're going to hell. Puts them under Holy Ghost conviction. Shows them their lost condition. You as a saved person this morning, you won't know any different in your life until the Spirit of God comes along and says, hey, there's something better. You don't have to live like this. You say, preacher, what are you saying this morning? And it don't matter if you're in Egypt or you're in colonial America or you're in modern day America. I've got the good news today that Jesus came to preach deliverance to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I studied that word bruised out one time. It means just to be beat to death. This whole world beat you and pushed you around and shoved you under the table and got you bound down and you can't live. You don't have no joy. Your spirit's all in a cage and can't get out. Hey! Jesus, what's the answer to all that? The Son therefore shall set you free. Ye shall be free indeed. I'm telling you this morning. Man, it's good to be free. Paul told the Galatians, he said, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Boy, I thank God this morning I could walk out behind my garden last night, sun going down, look out on them mountains and just stand before God and say, I'm free. I'm free. I have lived my life, and not, you have too this morning, don't you look at me. I've lived most of my life in bondage to something. Something. Something the devil put in my life I thought I had to do or die. Boy, if you can ever get set free from all of that self stuff, all of that system stuff, all of that society stuff, you know what freedom's really all about. I'll tell you this morning, I used to live to play golf. I was so into it, it consumed my mind, my heart, my thoughts, my sleep, my dreams. I read about it, I done it at every opportunity that I had, and I just couldn't be satisfied unless I got better. Some it should be joyful and have a good time become a bondage to me. A bondage to me. I just thought there wasn't nothing else in the world. I mean, I was still preaching, I was working, I was doing all of those things, but I was in bondage to it. And I went this last March, I believe it was, or maybe April, we went down to Mount Mitchell. Beautiful golf course. Kim said, have a good time. Because there's a lot of times I go and I come on mad as a bull. Mad as a bull! Ain't that right, Brother James and Brother John, they've seen. I mean, I'm serious. If we play checkers, I'm going to whip you. Or I'm going to pout about it. I'm competitive and I can't help it. But we went, had a great time. I enjoyed it, had a good time. I didn't play worth nothing. But I didn't care. And I got home. We'd been all day. It took all day to go down there and come back. And we'd been all day and I come home and I brought my clubs in and I set it down. And Kim said, how'd it go? And I said, we had a good time. I said, but I'll be honest. I can take it or leave it. Whew. I don't care. I don't care if I ever pick up a club. I mean, there's something so much better. Woo! But I guarantee you this morning, I guarantee you, there's some of you sitting in here, there's something in your life you are living as a slave to. You've got to do it or die. There's just about any good blessing God's given us is not sinful in moderation. But we Americans don't know anything about moderation, do we? Man, we got to do it and do it and do it until, I mean, we're the expertest, we're the bestest that ever was, and all of that stuff. But I won't tell you this morning, I got to move on. I'm glad I can report unto you that what set Israel free can set us free. And I'll tell you what set him free. It wasn't Moses. And it wasn't the declaration of Pharaoh that said, all right, I'm going to let you go. Buddy, I'll tell you, it's when they took that little lamb and they shed its blood. And then you know what that's a type of this morning? That's a type of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus meant when he said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye can be free indeed. I'm talking free like an eagle. I'm talking free like a bird. Most of us that are saved, we're really not free. We're slaves. That's why people can't enjoy the message of liberty. They can't enjoy the idea of freedom because they're really slaves to something. But old Patrick Henry knew what it's all about. He said this. He come down to the inn, and when he was faced with it, he said, I'll tell you how serious it is to me. You just give me liberty or you give me death. And I say, amen. If I had to live, I wouldn't go back under the bondage of sin. If you was to come to me and say, preacher, we'll give you the whole world, I'll just take what I've got in Christ. Hey, another slogan they had was this, live free or die. Live free or die. I'll tell you, I could preach a long time, but I'd rather live free. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can't appreciate it. So I give the invitation this morning and I ask you the question as I close, are you free? Are you really free?